You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Hallelujah. Lord is good. Hallelujah. I was thinking as Brother Chris was sharing there about, and during the especially during the confession. Everybody say the confession. You know, I was reminded, you know, several years back, we were in a meeting. It was a full gospel business. Did I not get this on? Is it on? Oh, yeah, it's on. We were at a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Temple, Texas. And we were, I was the guest speaker, and I was teaching them the Word of God. It's always good to teach the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that'll change your life.
Amen.
It's the Word of God that'll turn every situation around.
Right.
It's the Word of God that will do what the confession said, what we said in the confession.
Amen.
You know, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the mute speak.
Right. Amen.
Amen. It's the Word of God. So I was teaching the Word, and I think we closed or we adjourned, and we were singing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." And when we were leaving from the meeting, we walked past the bar, and in the bar they were singing "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound." Imagine it. The Holy Spirit flowed over, you know, into that meeting, and then the next morning we were invited to speak. No, that wasn't the same place. No, we were over there in north of San Antonio. That's another time. I'll finish the Temple, Texas one in a minute. But the one I wanted to tell you about was the one that happened in north San Antonio. We were there in a meeting, and I was preaching the Word of God at the very fine worship hall, the VFW hall, and they called it the very fine worship church because they were meeting in the VFW building. And so anyway, we were there, and I was teaching the Word of God. And I got my stories confused. Help me, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. I was not in the very fine worship hall. We were in a church. I'm back in Temple, Texas. I got to get in San Antonio. You know, and so we were in San Antonio. This is good, so hang in there. We'll get it right. Hallelujah. And I was preaching the Word, and all of a sudden there was a commotion. The church is pretty full. It was, you know, there was a lot. It was good, and there was a lot of people there. And about three quarters of the way back over on this side, there was a ruckus going on over there. And a guy got up and was stumbling around and stumbled and tried to make his way out the aisle. And as he's making his way, he dropped his crutches there, and he came out in the aisle and he stumbled all the way down until he couldn't hardly stand up coming down to the front. And when he got down there, listen to this now. He came down there, and I looked down, and he had a built-up shoe that was about between 8 and 10 inches. And what had happened is, in his seat back there, the short leg had grown out, and so he was off kilter by 8 or 10 inches, trying to come down the aisle. He came down there. We got those shoes off, and he went running around praising God, healed by the power of God. Don't tell me, you know, that things like that can't happen. It's too late. And then we were in another meeting, and this was in Colville, Washington, the town where we used to live, and there was a girl there that was in a serious automobile accident, and she'd torn up her leg. I mean, she crushed this leg, and so they'd pieced it back together and then stuck a rod down in through her leg, and she came. And, you know, the best they could do was make her leg about 5 inches shorter than the other one, and had this rod in it. So we prayed for her, and miracle of God, her leg grew out. You know, sometimes you've seen this much or maybe this much, but this one was this much. And so we prayed for her, and her leg grew out, and that rod started working its way out of her body. And so she went to the doctor, and he went, zzz, zzz, pulled it out, and she was totally healed by God's mighty power. I'm telling you, the miracles are still for today. But we've got to get ourselves in a position to receive the miracles of God. You know, we have to get our hearts right. We have to get back to where our dependence is on God. And we need churches that preach the uncompromised Word of God. I think I told you this morning, but I'll tell it again. Those pastors in Holland and those pastors in Ghana asked me, what kind of a message are they preaching in America? We hear these things on TV, and they preach with no power. That's why they love us. Because we don't, you know, I'm not gifted at preaching sermonettes for Christianettes. You know? I'm not gifted at, you know, preaching a seeker-friendly message or a, or some kind of watered down. I'm not gifted at that. I'm only gifted at teaching what I believe is God's word. That doesn't mean I'm perfect, but I'm ever learning, coming to knowledge of the truth. But I do my best to teach the word of God, because the word of God will produce miracles. I was in a meeting years ago in British Columbia, and it was in Salmon Arm, British Columbia. I'm going back now to back when was a great outpouring in the churches of Holy Ghost power and Holy Ghost anointing. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need it back in the house of God, because something has got to turn these people's hearts back to God. You have this situation, this guy goes ballistic up there and shoots all these people. Down at NASA, some guy goes ballistic, takes a hostage, and then kills the hostage and kills himself. And it's happening all over. And in our town, our small town in Salem, Oregon, my mom told me on the telephone the other day, she says there's been several murders in your town while you have been gone. The church has to do something. And if the church doesn't do anything, then church members are going to be in difficulty. Man, I believe in the protection of God. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you and direct you into all truth. I believe the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, and I want to ensure that my steps have been ordered by the Lord that day, so I'm where I'm supposed to be and not where I'm not supposed to be. Because I have work to do for God, and I don't need the devil trying to snuff out my life. Oh, he may try to snuff it out, but he's not going to get away with it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, did I finish the story? No, about the one about. Oh no, and we were Salmon Arm. Wasn't Salmon Arm? Oh yeah, I'll tell the Salmon Arm story. There's a town called Salmon Arm. It's in British Columbia. It's up in the Kamloops area. And anyway, I was there, and I preached this message. And this lady was in a walker, and she got healed. I mean, she was up there in age. I'm telling you, maybe 70, between 70 and 80, maybe older. I don't know. She came up in the walker, and she walked right out of that walker and started running around the room. And she ran outside, ran around the building 7 times. And and then came running in the building, praising God. This lady, 70 or 80 years old, maybe older. And so I'm in my motel room the next morning, getting ready to, move on to the next town. And I got a telephone call. And they said, the man from the radio station said, they gave us your number, found out where you were. And I wondered if you'd come down and we'd do an interview on television or on the radio with you this morning. And I said, well, that'd be great. So I went down there, and I didn't do like some other preachers do when they get on television, they have an interview. I got on there, and the guy asked me, he said, I heard that there was a woman at the meeting last night. Everybody in town knew about this woman. It was a town about twice the size of Will's Point. And everybody knew this lady and everything, most everybody. And so he knew the lady and had heard a rumor that she got healed. So he asked what happened. And so I gave a short testimony about what happened, and then he said, well, what do you think of the most important thing for the church to teach? And I says, how to be born again, how to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, how to know that you're not going to hell, and how to be sure that you're going to go to heaven. So for about 5 minutes, I began to teach him, and in 5 minutes, I said, now, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he says, as a matter of fact, I have. And I said, would you like to receive him? This program was going all the way across Canada on the Canadian broadcasting system. It was live. And he said, no, he says, I've never done that. I said, well, would you like to? And he said, yes. So I explained to him how easy it was. And so I led him to the Lord. And he said the sinner's prayer on the radio. And I says, one of the things that will help your Christian walk, one of the things that will help you become a dynamic Christian, one of the things that will help you drive the devil out of your life, one of the things that will help you when times of trouble is to pray in the Holy Ghost. And he said, what in the world is that? I said, well, Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power and you shall be a witness of me. And I says, here you're on the radio, you got an opportunity to be a witness to people, and you need the Holy Ghost. And I says, when you receive the Holy Ghost, there's a manifestation that'll come to you, and you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. I said, would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And he said, might as well. I'll tell you, that's what people need today. And so I prayed with him, and then I began to pray. Pretty soon he began to pray in the Holy Ghost in other tongues on the radio station. I'm telling you, God is good. And then another meeting up there in Canada, Pat was with me, and there was this lady. She was elderly. I don't know how old she was, but she got up out of her seat. I'm teaching the Word of God. I'm not finished teaching, but she can't wait. And she got up out of her seat, and she started coming down like this. There was a television camera right over there. They were preparing this program to put on Canadian on the secular channel in Canada, because they had heard some rumors about things that were happening at the Full Gospel Businessmen's Meeting, and they thought they ought to report it. So the guy's over there, and anyway, she comes down. She's coming down like this, and she takes forever. The floor is wooden. There's no carpet. We didn't know anything about catchers. She came over here and she stood over by me, and I knew I need to pray for her, and I went to ask her what she would like prayer for, and she fell out on the wooden floor. Boom, 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 boom. I looked down and she appeared to be dead, and of course the camera guy went, from over there on the side, put the camera right on her. So I just acted like the Shunammite woman. When Gehazi, I came to the Shunammite woman, he says, "Well, how is it with you?" She said, "Oh, it's all well." You know, "How is it with your husband?" "Oh, it's all well." "How is it with your son?" Who was dead, by the way. She said, "It is all well." You weren't going to get the Shunammite woman to say her son was dead. Amen. No, it's all well. That's the approach I took with this woman. I just pretended it wasn't there. Went on teaching the Word of God for about 2 or 3 minutes, and all of a sudden, she began to, I'm not saying she was dead, she just looked dead. You know, every once in a while I'd glance over and see if there was any movement whatsoever. See, God, just let her twitch or something. You know, I'm saying to myself, and I'm teaching the Word of God. This is a true story. Is it not true? And I'm not embellishing. This is true. And anyway, in about 2 or 3 minutes, all of a sudden, she started to move, and she jumped into a crouch. All of a sudden came up like, she's 80, at least 80, well, let me say, between 70 and 90 somewhere. She comes into a crouch, and then she comes up, "Whoa!" Camera goes, bzzz, on her. That's the days I'm hungry for. That's the days I'm living for. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Man, God, there's power in united prayer. Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Hallelujah. I got more stories. One time I was a chapter president of the NASA Full Gospel Businessmen's group. And we were on our way to a meeting. And all of a sudden a car, we were coming this way on the Space Center Drive. And there was another car coming this way. And all of a sudden this guy slumped over. And the car just went around like this. And then kind of came around the corner, swerved around. And the man slumped over. And anyway, we were on our way to the meeting, and one of the guys was driving the car. He just acted like he was going to keep driving. And my friend Phil, who was sitting next to me, he said, "Well, aren't you going to stop the car?" And so anyway, the guy stopped the car. The driver and the guy in the front seat stayed in the car. Phil and I got out and went over, and we went over. This guy turned blue. He looked dead. No movement. He was slumped over in his car, turned blue. We reached in the car. This is before you had to be, politically correct or something. Don't get yourself involved. Don't get involved. You just watch out to get a lawsuit and all that kind of business. Listen, God loves me. And God is my shield, and He's my buckler, and He's my protector. And God is interested in people. So Phil and I called him out of the car, laid him down the street. Looked dead. I'm not saying he was dead. He just looked dead. He might have been dead, but I can't verify that he was. So let's just say he looked dead. We prayed for him, and by the time the paramedics got there, the guy was healed. I preached a message one time at the church we were pastoring in Victoria, Texas, on the raw power of God, on the authority we have in Jesus' name. And then we went down to Taco Bell after the church service, and several of the families went down to Taco Bell, and we had a little, little Taco Bell beans and whatever, I don't even remember what we ate. But anyway, we had a good time. We were, after church service, had the glow was still going. Man, this is a firehouse message. And anyway, we got in the car to come home, and we started driving. We were coming down the road, and we came down, and there was a motorcycle laying over on its side, and a guy rolled over in the ditch. And, I'm just driving along and just talked about the raw power of God, the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, teaching in church. And I'm going to drive on by, and my wife says to me, "Well, aren't you going to stop?" Hadn't occurred. So anyway, I got about a block away and just turned the car, made a U-turn, went back and parked the car and shined the lights on this guy that was rolled over in the storm sewer. So I went over, and another man was standing there, and I'm getting ready to pray. This guy looks dead. I rolled him over, and his eyes were rolled back in his head, and there wasn't no signs of life. And this guy said he's dead, and I said, "Shut up and go over there. See that car down there?" I said, "You go stand over there, and don't you come back."
He did.
And he did. I did.
Yeah, you did, and he did.
I'm glad, but it took her to get me to stop. God's man full of faith and power. Thank God there's a woman behind every God's man full of faith and power. And so she got me to stop, went over there, and I began to pray for I rolled him out and began to pray for him. He's looking dead. I'm praying in tongues. And about within, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, the EMS truck rolled up. And when they came running out of the meat wagon and came over there and one of the guys went to pull me away, and one of the other EMS guys says, "Let the man pray." So I'm praying in tongues, and they're getting ready to do their work. They roll the gurney over there, and everything, and they loaded him up on the gurney. And this guy gets out this humongous pair of scissors, and he's going to cut this guy's leathers off. He got ready to take his first snip, and the guy who appeared to be dead, his eyes opened and said, "Don't cut my coat." So I went. I left. Went home, happy as a clam. And went home, and we sent somebody from the church the next day to see how the guy was, to the hospital. He was fine. They were going to minister to him. He decided that he wasn't ready to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior yet. Hallelujah. But God's good. God is faithful. Well, we had this guy in our church down there, Victoria, that tangled at 80 miles an hour with a semi truck on a motorcycle. I think he busted everything you can bust in your body. They had him laying up on the hospital. They had the death certificate by the door, ready to sign, ready for the doctor's signature. We went up to the hospital, and Pat and I went to the hospital. We went to his bedside, and Pat said, we started ministering to him the death certificate was prepared. They were just waiting for put on the time of death and sign it. So she goes over and she starts speaking the word of God. I'm speaking the word of God. We're praying. And then she asked him, if you can understand what we're saying to you, will you wiggle a finger? And he did.
So we led him to the Lord.
Yes, we led him to the Lord. All we could see was his finger that wiggled once. We prayed for him, led him to the Lord. And I don't remember how long was it. I mean, within a week, he was in church. Healed by the power of God. The only problem with his healing was that he had a little residual in one arm, and he said, "God wants me to have this so I can give my testimony that he healed, that he did all this work, and this is my, this is, I don't remember what he said, but this was his sign that he was crazy, but anyway, you know, his son, you know, what kind of a God would, you know, heal every bone in your body but one, you know, and leave it left over so that, you know, that, so that you would always remember. I think he said, I will always remember the goodness of God. Every time, you know, I look at my arm, I will remember the goodness of God, something like that, you know. So anyway, you know, we had to, after that, we had to liven up the service a little bit. You know, I had to get the orchestra to crank back in gear. We had a great orchestra. I had brass in there, you know, horns and the whole business. So I got them cranked up and everything. And it seemed like a Holy Ghost mist began to come into the congregation and come over everyone. And I believed all through that that nobody would remember the end of the testimony. Amen. So, you know, there's just been lots of good things happen. And they'll happen again if we'll believe God. You know, if we'll get in church, you know, when the church doors are open, we'll come together as brothers and sisters, believe in God that when we come, the anointing of God is going to be in the house. The healing power of God. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the mute speak. Woo! Hallelujah. I mean, Jesus said, the works that I do and greater works shall you do because I go to be with my Father. I had this nice little message prepared. I don't know if I can preach it or not. Hallelujah. I put it out here just in case. This is kind of a new message for me. So, Pastor Michael's got the brain of steel. So, you know, he remembers every scripture in the Bible and everything. But, I just thank God there's variety in the body of Christ. I used to get intimidated by him. But I tell you, in our little trips to Hawaii, you know, we've been there 3 or 4 times and spent, you know, a week or 10 days with them over in Hawaii for the last, 3 years, I guess, something like that. And, I've nailed him on a few things. So but he's nailed me all my life. So, you know, man, he's a great pastor. He's a great brother. Hallelujah. We thank God for him. And, I'm excited about his 25th, is it 25th anniversary of the church? Coming to Wills Point, Texas, you are blessed. Hallelujah. Did you find 2 Corinthians? Chapter 13. I'm in Ezekiel. I need to get to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. See what all these people miss? They miss this wonderful service we're having here tonight. Hearing about all these miracles. Man, I got more I could tell you. Anybody want to hear any more? Amen. I tell you. Man, there's been some good things happen. Amen. Glory to God. Man, we were in a meeting over in Holland, and there was these three demon-possessed women. I don't know. Didn't find any demon-possessed men, but we found 3 demon-possessed women. And, man, the service was powerful. And, we talked to you a little bit about this morning, but, man, when they worship God, I mean, it's an hour to an hour and a half. Loud. I mean, loud. I was in a meeting. She wasn't with me, but I was in a meeting over there in another meeting, and there was a singer from Ghana who's supposed to be a famous singer from that country was coming to do a concert. And anyway, the warm-up exercises, the music was so loud that everything in that room shook. Including the floor. You can feel the floor going, in this concrete floor going like this. And, I mean, it's so loud. And then the singer, he's sitting next to me, and they asked me if I would give a 10-minute, they gave me a 10-minute message, in this meeting. They found out I was there, and one of the pastors introduced me to somebody, and they decided that they wanted to give me 10 minutes. And so, I don't want to brag or anything, but it was really anointed. It really was. I mean, they said they've never heard anybody preach a message like that in 10 minutes before in their life, let alone an hour or 2 hours. Anyway, you know, it was just God. You know, it was just the grace of God. And so anyway, I talked to this, and when I came back to sit in my seat, this famous concert singer leans over to me and can hardly talk, and he said, I'm struggling with my voice. Would you pray for me? I just took my hand and slapped it on, bam, right over like that, put it on his neck. And I said, receive thou your healing in Jesus' name. He got up there, and I've never heard anybody sing so loud in my whole life. See, don't be, Get yourself into worship. Get the atmosphere set. Man, get the atmosphere set for miracles. You know, don't be, you know, just, some people, they just, you know, they just stand up and they just. Look, I mean, you know, that's, you know, you have chairs here on the platform, but, you know, in our days of pastoring, I started on the platform and then I couldn't take it anymore. Having to look out there. Any of you on the orchestra know what I'm talking? Not you, none of you, of course. You know, I'm not talking to you. It's just the ones that aren't here, you know. We're talking about somebody else now. And so, you know, you look out there. I didn't want it to disturb my faith. So, you know, because I might go to preaching on that if I saw it. You know, I want to preach with the Holy Ghost. You know, I want to deliver what the Holy Ghost wants delivered. You know, I can be a corrector. So I have to guard myself. You know, we sometimes need a little bit of correction, but we need a lot of edification. Amen. A lot of building up, a lot of encouragement, you know. Those are the things we need. We need to, you know, because a lot of us have, maybe not you, but a lot of others of us have, have things we're believing God for, you know, or needs that we recognize that would be nice to see met in our life. Amen. So, you know, we want to receive the word for those things. Now, where did I, huh? The devil women. They worship God for about an hour and a half, and then you teach the word. Well, after you worship God, then that's time for the offering. And they bring a big offering container down front. Sometimes there's three or four of them. There's never very much money in them because those people don't have. They're getting better. We're teaching them, but the prosperity is not one of the strong points of their life yet, but it's getting better. So anyway, you know, we're teaching them. But anyway, they dance again. And they come dancing from all over the church and come down and put their offering in there. So that takes another 20 or 25 minutes. And then you preach the word of God, and you know, and then so we get ready to pray. And these three women possessed, they were possessed of the devil. They'd given themselves over to demonic spirits. And so they, you know, we get ready to pray for people, they started acting up. I mean, acting up. I don't know if you ever heard about Lester Summerall, but he tells about a girl over there in the Philippine Islands. These girls were acting, I mean, they were like snakes on the floor. They were more devil-anointed the most devil-anointed breakdancers I've ever seen in all my life. Spinning around, rolling around. And I went over to this first one, so I'm dealing with her, and then somebody else was dealing with somebody else. And you were you? Not yet. Oh, there was these people. These people were talking. They were actually talking to the devil instead of talking to the girl. And so I think we got through on this one and got her settled out. I mean, we got her released from the devil. So I went over and kind of sat down on my wife. I mean, it was some work. I mean, sometimes these people they're so strong. You know, you try to hold them down. You can't, you know, so you can talk some word into them, and they don't want to be held down. They want to get loose. I could tell you another story, but let me finish this one. And this is going to be a great TV message. You know. Yeah, put it on right before one of the one of the programs that's user friendly or whatever you call them, you know. So anyway, I had to take my fingers like this and pull her eyes back like this because she wasn't gonna look at me. Man, I wanted to see the whites of her eyes. I wanted to see those eyes. I want to talk to the eyes. Well, got her free. I went down, sat down by Pat, and she pretty soon these people were working with this woman, and she was just growling and doing her stuff, and so Pat says, "I'm telling you, devils are real." God says, "What are you going to do about this?" So she leans over to me and says, "I'm going to do something about this." When she says she's going to do something about this, she's going to do something about this. So you got up there, and you said,
I said, come out of her, devil, in the name of Jesus. And then she stopped talking, shut her eyes, shut her mouth. Yeah, just as tight as could be. And I said, well, I'm not talking to you, honey, but I'm talking to the devil. And I cast him out. And then I said, now you say Jesus. You say Jesus, honey. And I said, open your eyes and look at me. And she opened her eyes and she looked at me. And she started to say the name of Jesus, but it was coming. It was hard for her to say it. And finally she said, the name of Jesus. And she got set free. But what she had done is she had been delivered in that church about 3 months earlier and totally clean, but she didn't come back and get filled up with the Word of God. She went back into demonic things and witchcraft, and so he came back twice as hard on her. And so what the women were doing after I talked to her, after we got her delivered, is that they talked to her about being in church. And they were pointing their finger at her and just really scolding her, but teaching her. And so anyway, that was the end of the story. She got delivered.
So, but anyway, the third one, they all got delivered because we're not closing down a service with the devil getting any glory. Amen. God's going to get the glory. And they were all, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They all spoke in tongues. All right, let me see if I can just read a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11, I'm going to read from an amplified version. It says, finally, brethren. Well, if you want to know what he's saying finally about, then that's your homework assignment. Finally, brethren, finally, church members, farewell. Be strengthened. Be made what you ought to be. Be encouraged. Be consoled. Be comforted. Be the same. Be of the same agreeable mind one with another. Live in peace. And then the Lord of love, who is the source of affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence towards men, and the author and promoter of peace will be with you. Greet one another with a consecrated kiss. All the saints, the people of God, here salute you. Verse 14, the grace, favor, and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the presence and fellowship and communion, sharing together, and participation of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen, so be it. Now the Holy Spirit wants to be a partner in your life. Say that with me. The Holy Spirit wants to be a partner in my life. You know, God, the desire of the heart of God is that for every member of his family to live a victorious, overcoming life. That includes you and me. We are if you've asked Jesus into your heart, you've given your heart to Jesus, you invited the Savior to come in and be a part of your life, then you're in the family of God. And once in the family of God, then the heart of God, the desire of God is for everyone who is in his family to live a victorious, overcoming life in Jesus' name. And the only way that I know that it's possible is to have daily communion with the Holy Spirit. Spend time with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it's expedient or it's profitable for you, for me not to stay, but for me to go. And so when he went, he said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to lead you into all truth. That's what Jesus said. Truth. Hallelujah. So I believe, and I believe the Bible teaches that communion with the Holy Spirit is the launching pad for a supernatural and consistent walk with the Lord. That's what I believe. I believe that, that our walk with God, we ought to be advancing. Amen. We ought to be growing in God. We ought to be closer to God tomorrow than we were today. Our life should be developing. We should have a developing Christian life. God wants us to grow. God wants us to mature. Man, I don't want the same things going on in my life a year from now that are going on now. I want things to be better. Man, I just don't want to go back to Ghana for a month. I'd like to go for 3 months. We can stay for 3 months. Because I believe we can do a lot of damage in that country to the devil. The devil did a lot of damage in that country in days gone by. That's where they took the slaves. And then the place where they loaded them on the boats. in chains and beat them. And then when they got to where they were going to go, the slave masters would come and they would flog them and beat them to see how they held up to a beating, see how strong they were before they decided what they were going to pay for them. Then not only that, they treated them like a horse. They checked their teeth, opened their mouth and checked their teeth. We were there. I mean, that's the country where it all happened. We were blessed to be there for their 50th anniversary of freedom from the Commonwealth. They fought for their freedom. They had a war. They got set free from British rule. They wanted to be free. Hallelujah. I'm believing God that, you know, my faith is going to grow, my faith is going to develop, and we'll be able to go and we'll be able to spend a longer time. Hallelujah. So what is communion? Communion is partnership. What is partnership? That's working together. You know, we are supposed to work together with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you say amen? Somebody say amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We're in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. How long have I been teaching?
2 minutes.
I guess that's right. Jeez. 2 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Well, I don't want to keep you here all night. I mean, it's Sunday night, you know. Mavericks are playing tonight, you know. That's right. You can tape it. You know, read the newspaper tomorrow. You know, you won't miss a whole lot. They believe they're going to win. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know? This is amplified again. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Do you not know that your body is the temple? I don't think most of us really know. Do you not know that the body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you? You are not your own, whom you have received as a gift from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made his own. So then honor God and bring glory to him in your body. Woo, hallelujah. Now, Paul is talking to some people who are of a Greek background. When Paul used the word temple, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Everybody said exactly. They knew that these buildings were beautiful. Everybody say beautiful. They had high vaulted ceilings. Say high vaulted ceilings. Big marble columns. You don't have to say that. Granite floors. Woodwork overlaid with gold. I mean, these were beautiful edifices. Paul uses that very word to describe where the Holy Spirit lives. So when you ask Jesus to be your Savior and Lord, in a moment of time, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. Not around you, although God's omnipresent, but he came to make his house or his place of residence in you. Now, here's the miracle. If you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit's in you. And not only is in you, he's in everyone else that's saved here tonight. Not only you that are here tonight, but all who live in Texas, all who live in the 48 states, the 50 states, all the Christians around the world. The Holy Spirit is living in each one of them. Fathom that. Well, say, how do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. If I'm going to believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior, that God raised him from the dead, he's seated at the right hand of God, and that when my body dies and I leave my body, I'm going to heaven, then I need to believe it all. He made his home a place of comfortability. And he decided that he was going to be very happy to come and live in you. Woo! I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Man, do we comprehend what a great miracle took place when we gave our heart to Jesus? Can we comprehend the miracle that on the inside, that old shack that was on the inside, lost in trespass and sin, was in a moment of time transformed by the power of God into a glorious temple. A place fit for the Holy Spirit to come and take up residence. Men, you are the sanctuary of the living God. I don't know, but when I talk about this, it makes me want to shape up. It makes me want to straighten up and fly right, as they say, man. Hallelujah, He lives in me. The work that was done on the inside of you was so glorious, so wonderful, that when that recreation was accomplished, God was well pleased. So what then? If we're saved, we are marvelous temples of God. Think about that when you want to get ticked off. Think about that when you want to, you know, when you want to say something, when you want to spill your mind to somebody. Give somebody a piece of your mind. You watch out, because you only got so many pieces to give now. Amen. When you want to have it your way or the highway. Think about it. Amen. See, the people who were here this morning when we talked about healing should have heard this message. But you're hearing it, so that's good. And when I received Jesus, I'm belaboring this a little bit, but you and I were recreated to be the glorious temple of God. Man, I want you to see it. When the service is over tonight, I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He's not living in some dilapidated shack. He's living in the temple. Beautiful temple. I'm telling you, these people understood completely what He was talking about. The fruit of the Spirit. Let's say this together. The fruit of the Spirit.
The fruit of the Spirit.
The gifts of the Spirit.
The gifts of the Spirit.
And the grace of God.
The grace of God.
Are working on the inside of every believer. I'm telling you, the fruit of the Spirit is not hate, unhappiness, frustration, anxiety, worry, and fear. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are working on the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the grace of God is working on the inside of you. That is what is on the inside of you. God deposited those things in you when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? I'm telling you, no human eye has ever, ever seen this beautiful inside of a recreated man. Now, I'm not talking about opening up with this, you know, that. This is a spiritual temple that God has built on the inside of you. I mean, it's a marvelous work. Everybody say marvelous.
Marvelous.
Just think about this now. You are magnificent. You are marvelous. I'm talking about you, the Spirit, now. Well, we better say that. Say, I'm magnificent.
I'm magnificent.
I am marvelous.
I
am beautiful.
So beautiful.
So magnificent.
So marvelous.
That God Almighty Himself in the presence of the Holy Spirit, desired to live in me. Oh, man. Ooh, isn't God? I mean, God is so good. Hallelujah. He made your heart His home. Man. So what's our job? Our job is to begin to do our best to honor His presence in our life. That's our job. I'm telling you, some of those things going on in the world that people are doing to think that they make themselves happy, they don't last. Happiness is flaky. It's all based on feeling. Amen. But joy is based on faith. I mean, things can be going wrong all around me, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. I just laugh at the devil. We were on a trip one time, and we were going to come to Texas for some meeting, and we just had David with us. And so we got on the plane, and we flew from, we were going to go on Delta, and we had to go through Salt Lake City. So we got on the plane. We got rerouted. We were supposed to go on another plane, and so they put us on Delta. We were going to come direct. And they put us on Delta because of some kind of problem with the other airline or something, if the plane was late. So they put us on Delta. So we got on Delta, and we got to Salt Lake City. And we got to Salt Lake City. They said, well, we have a problem with the airplane. We blew out a tire on the landing, and we really don't have the equipment here at Salt Lake City to change a tire. I thought, what in the world are they talking about? I don't have the equipment to change a tire. He said, we're going to have to manhandle it. So we're sitting there waiting, and they finally got ready to change the tire, and they came on and says, well, while our mechanics were changing the tire, they noticed that there was a problem with the brakes, and nobody here has ever worked on brakes, so we're going to talk on the telephone to Atlanta, and they're going to guide us through by telephone on how to make these brakes work on this aircraft. So about an hour later or so, they got on the announcement and said, there's a flight leaving for Atlanta, and we were going to Dallas, but, you know, the way it's looking, you could get on that airplane, go to Atlanta, and get back to Dallas before this plane gets out of here. So we decided to go over there, and so we got ready to get in line, and people were livid. They had no joy. And I'm in line, and I'm starting to laugh at some of these people. And I looked, you know, these service counter people, they wouldn't look up. They'd talk to him, swear at him, curse him, and all this kind of thing, and they wouldn't even look up. I guess they're trained, just, you know, robots. And they just look down, and they didn't say anything, didn't respond. You know, or they might say, I'm doing my best, or something, you know, anyway. And before I finally got up there, we got our seats, got on that flight, and they booked us on... Oh, no, they didn't book us on another flight. We were going to have to, you know, go to Atlanta first, and then they were going to check in for a flight back to deal. So anyway, you know, I'm just doing my best to have a good time. This started at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's 6 o'clock Eastern time, which is 3 hours later than the time we left on. We left at 10 o'clock, so that's, you know, that's forever. That's almost 24 hours now. This joy, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So I'm doing my best because, you know, I learned. One time one of our daughters was going to fly out, and we had her a first-class ticket, and she got on the airplane. And anyway, the airplane started to pull back. They don't do that anymore, but the airplane started to pull back. And then it came back in, and they ushered her off the plane. So anyway, I knew the rules. This is when I forgot about joy. This is in the nostril flaring setting. This is before I put tape on my nose so it wouldn't flare, you know. And so that was a sign to everyone, when his nose flares, run as fast as you can. See if you can outrun the gingerbread man. And so anyway, I walked over to this woman, and and she looked at me, and she said, sir, she said, if you'll just chill, if you just cool down, I'll get this all straightened out. Well, I don't know what the deal was. Oh, no, she didn't have a first-class seat, but they did give her a first-class seat on the next flight out. And I did chill, and I apologized. And told her, I flat out told her that was no way for me to act. I said, I apologize for that. And from that time on, every time we went to the airport to fly out, we'd be back in line, and she'd say, Mr. Upham, Mrs. Upham, come to the front. We pass all these people. We walk by all these people with our suitcases to check on. We walk up there, and she would put us ahead of everybody else. She loved us. Oh, it's good to see you again. I'm telling you, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness pays off. So I learned that now. But now we're in Atlanta, and I faced the woman from hell. We're up now 20, longer than 23 hours because we had to get to the airport from Salem, which we had to, you have to be there early and all that. We had to drive up there, which is over an hour. So anyway, I walk up there and I said, I need to rebook. She looked at me and she got the thing and she looked and she said, well, if you'd have went to Phoenix in the first place, she said, this wouldn't have happened. I said, ma'am, I don't believe I was ever supposed to go to Phoenix. Then she got livid. And she says, well, there's no seats on the first flight or the second flight or the third flight to Atlanta. She says, I have one scheduled. I can put you on maybe the fourth flight. And we saw other people. We decided to walk down there. We saw other people who were getting on the flight that were on the same flight we were. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. I learned, just chill. When she said chill, I'm chilling, man. It pays to chill. Keep your cool at all costs. And so anyway, I don't remember how it worked out. They did get us on the plane, I guess. We asked someone else, and then I went up to the lady at the service counter, and I said, they have a schedule for three flights later to go to Dallas, but I see some of the people we were on flight with getting on this plane. And I said, that woman back at the service counter, she said, who was she? She said, I don't remember her name, but she was the woman from hell. Oh, she said, oh, I know who that is. So she fixed us right up. We got on the plane, and so we're taking off, man. We're on our way to Dallas. We're going to be here in time for the meeting, we thought. So anyway, we're coming across and we're coming into Louisiana, and the airplane pilot comes on and says, they're having some bad weather in Dallas, and we don't have enough fuel to get into a holding pattern, so we're going to land this jumbo jet at Baton Rouge. It took every bit of the runway to get that puppy to stop. So then we said, we're going to be here about an hour while we refuel. So I thought, well, man, I was supposed to pick up my car the day before, my rental car in Dallas. So I thought Baton Rouge was a small airport, but it was a forever going down to where the rental car place was. So I took off to go down to the rental car place. And before I got to the rental car place, I heard a voice come over the system and say, all passengers for the Dallas flight should be on board. I'm telling you, the joy of the Lord's got to be your strength now. Man, I got to run all the way from where I was, all the way back, to just get on that plane. And her and David decided, it was too bad about Dad, they're getting on the plane. So we finally got on that plane, got the door closed, and came to Dallas, landed at the airport. And it took them 45 minutes to put the jetway up to the door. 45 minutes, and my son leaned over and says, Dad, he said, we could have driven here and made it before this. But we stayed happy.
Jerry, huh? The plane that we left back there that had the tire
trouble
landed the same time we did.
Yeah, this plane had all the tire trouble, landed the same time, came in at the same time we did. Figure that out. Hallelujah. But now, we wouldn't have a story to tell. We wouldn't be able to tell about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, where were we? We're in the Bible, aren't we? So we found out he's made our heart. Joy is on the inside. You just have to let it bubble out. Why do you think James said, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into diverse temptations? So trouble's going to come. But you don't have to let the trouble affect you. You don't have to let the trouble get you down. You can stand up against it. You say, with the power of God, amen? You are those who have received, only those who have received Jesus as Savior have been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Everybody say the blood of Jesus. So, you were purchased with a price. So mark this down. You're not your own. No. You belong to God. You're God's property. So what does that mean? See, this is Sunday night. You know, you guys can take this. Bottom line is that when you sin, you are fornicating against God. What is sin? Everything doesn't please God. What pleases God? Well, the Bible will tell you what pleases Him. So everything in the Bible that doesn't please God is a sin. Oh, man. So what, you know, purity. Everybody say purity. And godliness. Say godliness. They are the guards of the temple. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you that'll, if you'll trust Him, He'll speak to you and say, "Oh no, don't do that. Oh no, don't say that. No, hold your peace. Put a smile on your face. Don't say that to that person. Don't go over there. Don't get involved with that situation." No, the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you because He lives in you to watch over your life. Amen. So I have to, I encourage you, make a commitment. Everybody say commitment. Amen. To live a life, make a commitment that you're going to grow in your spiritual life that reflects the grandeur of the temple that's on the inside of you.